Tonight we have the two bookends of the story. The first story is of Adam and Eve and the temptation of them, and of course, their fall. And then we have the other end of Jesus being tempted by the devil in the desert, and of course, choosing always to point back towards his Father in heaven. And in between them, we have St. Paul, who is trying to explain in a very theological way how this all works out in the life of a Christian. Because we recognize, as Paul does, that we are all sinners. And yet we have been redeemed. We have been saved by the actions of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection. And that we are in debt in a way to that gift of life that Jesus shares with us. And with that, there are the two great things that we as Christians must understand. The first is that of free will, that God gives each person the gift of free will to choose life or to choose death, to choose good or evil, to choose justice or injustice, to choose compassion or hatred, to choose love or violence. And all of those things we get to choose freely. God says to us, I give you this gift and you may use it as you will. That's a good thing, because we are able then to choose love, to choose compassion, to choose mercy, to choose generosity, to choose gratitude. Because it is those gifts that allow us then to understand more fully that second part of what we call the indebtedness that we live under. And we often use the word obligation, that I am obliged to do something. Now, the world sees that often as being put under the cosh, right? To be, you must do this. You don't have a choice. But God, of course, says, no, you do have a choice. I give you free will. And the idea of obligation for us is that it is a debt of gratitude. We are grateful for something done for or something given to us in the service of love. And of course, that is what Jesus does for us. He gives us something much greater than we will ever be able to repay. He gives us life eternal. He gives us the ability to be reconciled to our Father. He gives us the ability to let go of the sins of our past and live in the joy of the future. And for that, we are obliged to him. And how we choose to respond is how we choose to love, how we choose to show mercy, gratitude, compassion, joy, blessing in the world. Because that obligation of gratitude that we have seeks for us to respond in a positive way to the world around us, to the presence of God in our brothers and sisters, in our friends and neighbors, and yes, in our enemies too. That a willingness to respond in gratitude, as Jesus has responded to us in love, in mercy, and in blessing, sharing with us that gift of life, that gift of love, that gift of truth that we all are called to live. And of course, we can look around us and see examples of that back and forth, right? We can all maybe remember a teacher that we had that we are indebted to for something that they gave to us. I can remember Miss Manderfeld. She was my physics teacher in high school.
because I went to a public high school. Her name was really Sister Catherine to everyone, and we all called her Sister Catherine, and she'd always say, no, you have to call me Miss Manderfeld in school. And we go like, okay, sister, right? Because it was just, you know, that's who we knew her as. And I can remember her great kindness in shepherding me through some very difficult times in my personal life. You know, being able to go in and sit and talk with her. And I am indebted to her for that. I am grateful for that. I will never be able to repay her for that. And yet I continue to thank her, pray for her, eternal soul now, and am grateful for that gift that she gave to me that helped me navigate some of the more tricky things of being a senior in high school. We can look forward to that and look forth in that in the gift of marriage, where the husband and wife stand before God and the people of God and say the vows that I will take you and I will love you and honor you and I will care for you and I will bless you and I will forgive you and I will be with you all the days of my life. We oblige ourselves to the other in the act of love. That I choose to be of service not because of anything that you will give me, but because what I receive from you. That gift of love, that gift of blessing, that gift of life that fulfills me and makes me into the better person, the better husband, the better wife, the better man, the better woman, the better love that God calls us to live. That is the obligation that we live under. That is what St. Paul is trying to show forth in that letter. That is what Jesus calls forth in his response to the tempter's lies. That I am obliged to my Heavenly Father to love and to love creation, not because of what it can give me, but because of what I can pour into it, what I can pour out of myself, what I can share in the blessing of life, what I can share of myself that makes the world a better place, that makes forth and shows forth the kingdom of God in its splendor and its glory. So when others look at us, they can say, there goes the kingdom of God. Now, of course, we go back to the other part, free will. We don't always choose that. Right? That's where that sacrament of reconciliation comes in. That's where the mercy of God comes in. The mercy of our friends, our family, our spouse comes in. Is that when we don't show forth the kingdom of God, we are invited back into the kingdom of God, back into the mercy of God by our choosing once more, freely choosing once more to be united in love. And as we begin our Lenten season, if you came to the services on Ash Wednesday, we asked you to take one of those little cups of dirt that are at the altar, right? The ones that everybody says, what are those for back there? Right? And those cups of dirt we are given to each family as a signal, as a sign, as a symbol of our growth spiritually during Lent. When we choose towards God, when we choose to be alms given in the service of others, in how we serve others. And as those little seeds grow forth, we should also be growing in service of others. Because we're reminding ourselves again that Lent isn't simply 40 days. Right? Jesus didn't spend 40 days in the desert and say, I'm done. But rather, he then goes out and continues the mission that God has sent him to do as his beloved son. And so the transformation that we live during Lent, how we pour ourselves out in the service of our brothers and sisters, whether it's prayer, fasting, or giving of ourselves physically, emotionally, in everything that we are, that should spur the growth of life within us. And those little sunflower seeds, as they grow forth, show forth the life that should be our Christian call, our way of living life in the abundance of God's grace. And so as we receive his body and blood this night, as we celebrate the life-giving joy of the coming of Jesus, we recognize our need to continually choose towards God, to choose in recognition that God has given us the blessings of life, and then in us our obligation, our gratitude to serve in joy, to love in holiness, and to bless those around us.